Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in our gospel reading, we touched a bit on some of our reading for today, particularly in regards to what the apostles would face when they were sent out into the towns and the villages. And like last week, it's pretty easy to focus on all the hardships that the men will face, so we're not going to recount them again today. But at the end of Jesus' instructions to his disciples, he says something that can be a bit confusing, and it often gets overlooked. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Now we know that Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man, so we know that he's talking about himself here, but hasn't Jesus already come? I mean, this is a phrase that can cause some confusion because we know Jesus is here at this point in Matthew's gospel. So this morning I want to look at probably some ways that Jesus, the Son of Man, has come or will come to see if we can understand this a little better. To start with, the Son of Man came at his incarnation. It's one of the great pieces of scripture that we read every year, how in Luke's gospel, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her about the favor she has with God and that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her and she will conceive a son. In this way, we see that Jesus is fully human and he is also fully God. He is the Son of God and he is the Son of Man at the same time because he came at his incarnation. Jesus, the Son of Man, comes as we see him baptized in the Jordan River by John, which sets off his entire ministry. And in those years, Jesus comes to those who are lost and hurting with comforting words that the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus, the Son of Man, comes to many who are sick and blind and crippled and possessed by evil spirits, and he heals them, setting them free from some of the effects of a world broken by sin. And in all his 33 years, Jesus, the Son of Man, lives a perfect life. Yes, he was tempted with sin in every way that we are, and yet never gave in. Jesus, true man and true God, lives a perfect life under God's law and thus fulfills that law on our behalf, enabling him to be our salvation and our eternal life. So then next we can say that the Son of Man came to redeem us. All that Jesus taught and preached was leading up to those last days during Holy Week. The Son of Man comes into Jerusalem with a triumphal entry on what we call Palm Sunday, cheering crowds, palm branches waving, shouts of Hosanna, only to have those same people begin to reject him the very next day. Soon, the religious leaders would start to plot for a way to get rid of him permanently. And those actions were sealed against the Son of Man when Jesus calls out the Pharisees in the temple, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell?" The Son of Man came as one who was not afraid to call out sin and the need for repentance. But this incident in the temple really solidified that the Son of Man would be arrested and suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes. And it all happens. And it begins on that night when Jesus institutes his supper and is betrayed by Judas. This led to what Jesus foretold to his disciples. The Son of Man stands before a phony trial with false witnesses. He is beaten, crowned with thorns, and suffers and dies while nailed to a cross. The Son of Man came to atone for the sins of the world. Then Jesus rested in the tomb for 3 days, just as he said he would, and then was gloriously resurrected. On that wonderful Easter morning, the Son of Man came back to life, and because he lives, he offers this same life to all who come to him in faith in his actions. And for 40 days, Jesus comes to his disciples, encouraging them, and then ascends back to the Father, seated at the right hand of God, enthroned in power and might, as he prepares a place for all who believe in him as their Redeemer. Next, the Son of Man will come again in glory. Luke, in the book of Acts, tells us that the Son of Man ascended to heaven and was covered by a cloud, taking him from the sight of the disciples. And so the Son of Man will come again in glory in the same way. John tells us in the book of Revelations that Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon." And Mark describes how it will look. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven, so that everyone who has ever lived will be raised from their graves, and they will stand before the Son of Man. And all who are alive at the time will be caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And then the Son of Man comes and judges every person who has ever lived. He will put the believers on his right as a shepherd separates sheep and will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." But the unbelievers will be put on his left as a shepherd separates goats and will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Those who believe in him will be judged righteous, and their works, their response to the salvation provided by Jesus, will give ample evidence of faith, while the unbelievers will have nothing to show. So in this we see how the Son of Man has already come in the past, and what his coming again in the future will look like. But what about today? Well, today, the Son of Man comes to save us. In Jesus, the office of the ministry was created along with the church to carry on the mission that started at Pentecost until this day, and then on to the last day. And it's all about sharing the good news of the kingdom and the love of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. This happens as his holy word is preached here and taught in Bible study. The Son of Man comes today to you as he speaks you righteous through the words of absolution. The Son of Man comes and makes you his own in the precious waters of baptism, and he gives to you his very body and blood in the bread and wine at his table to forgive your sins and to strengthen your faith. In these, the Son of Man comes and purifies us from sins, sanctifies us to share in God's holiness, and blesses us in our relationship with him and with one another. Now, when we look back at Matthew's gospel, we may not be able to really pinpoint exactly what Jesus meant when he said the Son of Man comes. But we do know and believe that he comes in his incarnation, was born of Mary, lived and ministered to the world. We know and believe that he came to redeem us by his suffering death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. We know and believe that he will come again in glory on the last day to judge the world. And we know and believe that he comes to us in his word and sacraments to forgive us and grant us eternal life. And we rejoice that the Son of Man has come to us this day and is truly present with us now in this place. My prayer for all of you is that the Son of Man continues to come to you. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.